Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the Common Workspace Studios for this morning drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on 1030 The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser, joined in studio with first of two guests who will be live with us. I'm excited about that. Our man of the cloth, and I can validate today in shorts and a t-shirt because he's right here in front of me. Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor on the program. We will do our thing. Supervisor Steve Christie will be on the program afterwards. We're going to talk a variety of topics. We're going to talk water. We're going to talk Keno expansion. We have Supervisor Christie on the Pima County Board of Supervisors on about once a month. To talk about his view of what's going on in the region as the only Republican serving on either the Board of Supervisors or the Tucson City Council. It's kind of two big governing bodies. So that will be good. Hey, quick note I wanted to mention before we get going as well. Blake Masters announced for U.S. Senate on Monday. He's from Tucson. He joined the race. He will be our guest on tomorrow as well. So we'll talk with a newly minted Senate candidate, Blake Masters, on the show, and he will also be in studio. So that will be fun. So we have a full week ahead. Pastor Jeff, always good to see you. Nice to get into Hump Day this way with you.
Good morning.
It's always great to see you in person.
Yeah,
as well.
Good to see you. Good to see your new location. It's awesome here.
Yeah, Common Workspace Studios, pretty cool here. Any updates from you, Pastor Jeff? You know, I wanted to, there's been a big update in the community related to a project that you've been a part of, and I wanted to talk with you about that and kind of what weave our way through some conversation. But anything on your mind before we get going?
Sure. No, I think you were alluding to a relationship we have with Desiree Cook and IMU 360 and some recent posts with some new spaces she's been working on over the last few years. It is always exciting when someone has a vision, a dream for something, especially something that pertains to the betterment of the community. In this case, it's the youth in our community. Last I understood it, there was as many as 7,000 youth who are caught in that gap between foster care adoption, bridging into adulthood, and IMU 360. I know there are other great organizations as well, but they're indirectly impacting, I say indirectly and directly, but impacting as many as 3,500 of those youth. And so the specific thing that's occurred most recently is the space that they're going to be using and what I would consider to be leadership development type project, where the space is utilized, it's inhabited by these youth during an intentional program or process that allows them to attain practical skills, mentorship that will not only allow them to be a contributing, sustainable part of our immediate community, but also I've seen firsthand how these individuals are taking those skills and investing them in their peers. And so it's not only adults pouring into their lives, but it's students pouring into the lives of other students. So all of that to say that the space that is opening up for them is a grassroots foundation for a movement that I think is going to lead to more of these kinds of spaces and be a real encouragement to the youth in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's incredibly exciting that tiny home community. I think there's 10 homes, tiny homes on the property. You've been a huge part of that. Pastor Jeff Loxton is the pastor of Hope City Church. And certainly during COVID, we started talking about and not just wisdom for weird times. That was where we started. But we really are embracing this faith and culture combination. Mm-hmm. And it falls in line with a lot of things I've been thinking about of as the church, as one of many institutions, Big C Church, Little C Church, that our institutions have become less effective over time. And so what do we do about that? We've been hitting the last few weeks a lot on these numbers coming out of Pew Research and Gallup of just talking about how the minority of Americans now are involved with a synagogue, mosque, or church. which is the lowest since 1930s. And you are a pastor of a church. You're behind the pulpit every single week. We've been having some very genuine, in-depth conversations on that. But I wanted to turn the table a little bit.
Sure.
And look ahead at some things. You've been involved with the Vail Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
You're a business guy. We're looking at, for example, at the end of this month, just a couple of weeks, 5,000 to 10,000 individuals who will be out on the streets when this eviction moratorium ends. And I feel for the tenant. I feel for the landlord. I've had many conversations on that. The fact of the matter is these folks don't have a place to go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in these times of crisis and challenge that the church has so often stepped up.
Right.
You view the world through multiple different lenses. What are some of the things that the church is doing well in Tucson, ways that the church can step in and step up as some of these crises start to happen?
You know, a few questions that kind of go through my mind as filters for the things that are happening is just whether it's church or business or, you know, the social networks that we're involved with is how does it work practically, nuts and bolts, how does it work? Whatever paradigm someone is operating in, and how can we make it better? And so I think one of the things that we see that is unique to Tucson, I don't know how many of our listeners are aware of this, but the churches are working together cross-denominationally, pulling resources, not just people, but also funding to be able to look at specific areas within Tucson to figure out how we can improve what's going on there. And so sometimes that is starting other churches. Sometimes that is fueling other projects. We had a series of individuals that visited Tucson to do practical construction work, not necessarily skilled labor, but there are tangible needs that are here. And so people that came from other states visited to do what they could do while they're here throughout the entire month of June. And so the individuals that came from as many as four different states, you know, we helped with part of the housing. There were other churches on the west side that helped with housing. Then there were churches in the northwest that are providing showers and space for these guys to be able to do the work that they're doing while they're here. I've come from Southern California. It was a more dense area, maybe categorized as something where more people would consider themselves people of faith, but I've not seen the kind of things that are happening here. And yeah, it's sometimes despairing, seemingly a feeling of hopelessness, but I think it's in those moments where there's an opportunity for us to rally, you know, not to capitalize on that phrase, rally in the valley, right? But an opportunity for us to rally and say, hey, look, there are moments where we can make a difference. And we, what are we focused on? Are we focused on what's not working? Or are we focused on the opportunities?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pastor Jeff just started Tucson's own Rally the Valley.
Yeah.
So the rally for Rally in the Valley is going to be next week.
Yes.
Hope City Church, Pastor Jeff.
There you go.
22nd Street Corridor. Well, I've asked Pastor Jeff multiple times, do you fear the deer? And Pastor Jeff does not fear the deer.
No, but now what's the series? 2-1? And
it is 2. I'm starting to fear the deer.
Right.
We're talking about the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
But actually, it's funny, Pastor Jeff, and we can go to break on this and come back and circle back on this. We took a little bit of a rabbit trail detour.
My fault.
So I said to somebody, Rally the Valley, and they responded back and they said, do you fear the deer? And I thought, that's the stupidest hashtag. I'm glad you're joking. And I looked and I was like, that's actually what they... Sorry, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, sorry. I think Fear the Deer is really dumb. I thought it was a joke at first, and it's actually a real hashtag.
It's a real thing, yeah.
Folks head into the Deer District for the game in Milwaukee, and they go, hashtag Fear the Deer.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't fear the deer.
No.
Not if that's the slogan.
No.
I fear Giannis Antetokounmpo. I fear Giannis Antetokounmpo. I fear him, but I don't fear the deer.
No.
All right, Pastor Jeff, our man of the cloth and shorts and a t-shirt, here live with us. We're talking with our faith and culture contributor here this morning, a regular on the program. We'll be back for another segment. Supervisor Steve Christie, Pima County Board of Supervisors, up next on the program, talking local news and politics from his view. Lots to go here on Tipping Point in the Common Workspace Studios, 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back.
Tucson station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
And we're back, Tucson and Southern Arizona, here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, Drive Time Hour, talking about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future with our faith and culture contributor here on the program, Pastor Jeff Logsdon of Hope City Church here on the 22nd Street Corridor in the city of Tucson. Pastor Jeff, good to see you again and in studio.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to be here present and check out the new space. It's looking good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I wanted to close our conversation in this way, that there's a guy by the name of Yuval Levine who talks about how increasingly society consists of individuals and a national state, really one or the other, while the mediating institutions, these are his words, family, community, church, unions, and others, fade and falter. And he, like a lot of us, are looking at how did we get to where we are today, and both how do we debrief that, and then also what is the hope for the future. And this is his view, to a large degree, that our mediating institutions, family, community, church, unions, and others, have faded and faltered and left us with either the individual or the national state and nothing in between. And I think, you know, we used to have the church, and it is to still to a large degree really the social safety net, really active in education in social safety, in poverty alleviation, in economic development. I sort of see us in a time where the church could again be one of those mediating institutions that's a part of that here coming out of COVID. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing both for your church, for the church in Tucson? What gives you hope? It's in your name. I assume you're hopeful. What gives you hope, and where does the church fit into this?
Sure. There's a quip that was inspiring me from this last week. It says, your greatest success is a life lived in full surrender to God. And this is the place of not only peace and joy, but wisdom, courage, and success. And I think there's a tension. There's a tension for many with what they experience as organized religion. But I think when you talk about the opportunity that rests somewhere between the individual and the state, the church, I believe, as sideways as it gets in moments, is the hope of the world. But it's not found in programs. It's not found in how we overthink some of those structures. It's found in us being able to truly just take a step back and to say, where is God moving and how can we join him in the work that he's doing? And to say that a different way for listeners that maybe don't come from a faith background is, where's that need in our community and how can we practically work together to be able to meet those needs? And within the context of Tucson, it's a fascinating community because you can divide it into cross sections where there's affluence in some parts of our city and not in others. But we're seeing people who are coming together from both sides to say, hey, your church or your community resides in a place, a part of Tucson that is less affluent or has more need or is in proximity to where there's more need. We have resource. How can we work with you to address those needs? So we're seeing people walk in off the street saying, hey, I can't take care of this particular thing or this particular individual this week. Do you know people or have resources that can help us with that? I think where the church is willing to separate itself from the traditional language of, are you a member? Are you not a member? And willing to truly just see the person and see, like, what do we have in our hands that we can offer them? There are significant moments that are occurring right now that give me great courage. And we're seeing it across the board, not just at Hope City, but throughout the church, the local church in our city and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting again, because I'm definitely looking at this from a cultural and social standpoint, just as much as anything else. And I've seen in this community, I think we had a caller during one of our conversations, Pastor Jeff, say, well, why can't churches just get along together? I'd say, look at Tucson. To a large degree, churches have been doing that for a number of years. And I remember initiatives like serving our schools, where a church would adopt a school.
Right.
And that adoption didn't look like, coming in with a curriculum or, coming in with a philosophy. It was, hey, you need pencils? All right, we'll do a pencil drive. I mean, simple stuff of, maybe you don't have enough money for whatever reason from the state or whatever the case may be. Let's serve that need. I think we talked about housing at the top of the hour. We talk about education, economic development, economic redevelopment. I saw this article. It was not a religious site. It was an urban planning site. It said, hey, how do churches, as these mediating institutions in the fabric of our community, serve as this gathering point for people to talk about what does Plan Tucson look like, right? Tucson's going to undergo this huge planning effort to plan the next 10 years of our community.
Yeah.
How does the church serve as a platform for that? So it's these little corners of the world where I'm starting to find these questions of people asking what we're trying to ask. And as an institution, how does it fit in?
The encouraging thing to me right now is we're getting more and more of those calls as people are seeing the opportunity for churches as a location to be a platform for social connections. And the challenge right now is being able to handle those calls efficiently, which is a great problem to have. And, to your point, in the recent past, pre-COVID, we were seeing those relationships between the local church and education where churches were adopting schools, TUSD, Vail, some of the areas of our community where there were greater needs. And it got to the point where schools, where their leadership may not be as open to people of the faith community, were saying, how do we get churches in our schools? Which I think is an awesome a testimony to the kind of work that's being done. Apart from the idea or fear of proselytizing, it's more about
words are hard.
You know, what are the opportunities that we have, and how can we work together?
Yeah, I love that. On Monday's show, and I won't bring up the context of how I got to this part of the show because it's not relevant, but sure. I said, the more I'm behind this mic, the more I'm looking at the issues, the more I'm coming to this conclusion. By the way, we're with Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor this morning on the program, is that really the heartbeat of, I would say, America, and I mean that even though it sounds cliche, but I would say sure. at the national level, but also locally, I've heard it, uh-huh. I've seen it, the heartbeat of America has turned from yes, we can, to yeah, but. You know, from the art of the possible to the art of paralysis. And coming out of whatever we've come out of the last year is going to require, I think, our mediating institutions to figure out what is that yes, we can mentality.
Sure.
Just look, we've got a problem. We can complain about it. We can tweet about it. You know, we can point fingers about it. But at a local level, how do we go from yeah, but or paralysis, but yes, we can.
Sure.
And I think it's going to be these cross-sector partnerships and relationships that we've seen hints of the last few years. Now, what does that look like in force? That excites me.
Yeah, and when you say that, there's the voice of a friend ringing in my ear, and her phrase is, but God. And the scripture, you know, with God all things are possible. If we in the local church lay down presuppositions, if we as people who might be hostile to the local church, maybe for good reason, lay down our presuppositions, what can God accomplish in the community when we say, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you're a person, I'm a person, and there is something greater that needs mm-hmm. to occur in this situation.
Yeah. And I'll close it this way, because I think we've got about a minute or so, is sitting down with you always gets me excited, because I think what we're nibbling at on the edges is this conversation again of, you know, hey, at the time, major activists for social justice, and I'm talking abolition,
yeah.
slave trade on boats, I'm talking for centuries, has often been led by people of faith and churches.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the great social safety nets, education models and systems, poverty alleviation, economic redevelopment. There is a legacy of the church as a mediating institution getting their fingers into the weeds of those issues and being a part of solving them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like a lot of institutions, like government and so on and so forth, the church is kind of sleepy, but that's
right.
not its past, and it doesn't have to be its future.
Right.
How do we reignite that fabric of our local communities again? And I've loved riffing on that with you, Pastor Jeff.
Yeah,
any final words on that as we close?
No, I just think that as we have experienced COVID and some of the challenge, a lot of the challenges and really difficult things that society's embraced, it has opened up doors for opportunity. It's exciting to be a part of that.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church, our faith and culture contributor. We'll do this again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Supervisor Steve Christie is in the green room. We'll talk local news and politics in Pima County to close out our show after this. 10:30 The Voice. Don't go anywhere.
News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. If you're really into binge-watching TV shows, soon you'll be able to binge some classics. Amazon's Prime Video streaming service is making available Norman Lear's entire TV catalog from the 1970s and 80s. That means shows including All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, Good Times, and Different Strokes, to name a few. They'll launch tomorrow on Prime Video and some on Amazon's IMDb TV. Starbucks and Coca-Cola are publicly calling on Congress to revisit the Voting Rights Act, with Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson today saying that the right to vote is core to our democracy. In a separate statement, Coke says it supports the restoration of the Voting Rights Act. Leaders in several states have introduced new laws they say are necessary to protect election integrity, but critics say they're intended to limit the ability of people of color to cast ballots. Stock indexes are modestly up, with the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 each gaining less than a tenth of a percent. I'm Andrew O'Day, Bloomberg Radio.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and Southern Arizona, here in the Common Workspace Studios on 1030 The Voice for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser. We just wrapped up with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Logsdon. And it was a friendly exchange of guests in studio between Pastor Jeff and now Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. The three of us are friends. We know each other. That's always fun. Good to see you in studio.
Good to see you, and thanks for having me. It's nice digs here.
I appreciate it. It's great to see you, and lots to talk about. First of all, you've rarely been in the majority in your years as supervisor. You're starting to be in the majority decision these days on some key topics on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. You're the only Republican on the board, only Republican combined with the board and the Tucson City Council. You're not used to being in the majority, but you and Supervisor Bronson and Supervisor Scott seem to agree more than not on issues lately. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it appears that way, and I think it's a positive thing. I like to say it's bringing down the old wall of the stranglehold of the Democrat Party on the Board of Supervisors, and there's a fissure in there, but realistically, I think it portends well that there is some ability for a different point of view. And in my situation, my point of view is usually different from everybody's. But on certain key issues that I feel very important on, I'm very glad to see that some of my Democratic colleagues have joined me on certain areas. First of all, the lifting of the proclamation of emergency, I think, is essential. All of the data is showing that everything is going in the right directions. Vaccinations are up. The percentage of those in at-risk communities for the COVID issues are being addressed through vaccination. Hospitalizations down, ICU is down as well. So if there was ever a time to lift the proclamation of emergency, it was when we did it at the last board meeting. So I think that was significant that we got such good cooperation on that.
Well, I want to start on that high note because the one topic I did want to start off with you that's recently in the news is a decision where you were, again, the only no vote, at least throughout in the past at least, Pima County's Keno Sports Complex could soon see the addition of an 86,000 square foot ice complex, one of Tucson's largest indoor sports facilities. You've been a pretty consistent no on this. Explain your concerns. Why are you the only no vote on this expansion? The drawings look beautiful.
Well, this goes back, many decades. It goes back to the location of the stadium, the controversy over how the stadium was placed there in the first place. And how it came to be originally. There was a lot of talk and a lot of support for putting the baseball stadium downtown, and I think that would have been the proper place for it. And how it got to where it is now is a long and varied story, and a lot of issues and controversy have surrounded that. I've always believed that when you have a facility like that, it should be very accessible to the public from all areas of the region, and it certainly is not that now. And what we have at this particular point is a very, I think, risky partnership that is being developed, or called a partnership, but it appears that there's a need for the whole complex to be successful to have retail involvement in it. And there is a master plan and all kinds of plans and drawings. I think myself that something of this nature should be driven by the private sector. If this was such a great plan for retail development and for attraction, then it would seem to me that the retail commercial real estate people would be shoving down the doors of Pima County demanding to be involved in that. Yet I see no local interest. I see no local involvement per se, other than a consultant from out of town. So I'm concerned about that. And secondly, my other concern is I'm very worried about what I would call a very knee-jerk, reactive health department. And we're just getting through a COVID crisis. We've lifted the proclamation for emergency, but I know as I'm sitting here that the health department is watching around the corner, waiting in great anticipation for the next pandemic. And when that happens, and we have a county facility or the involvement of a county in a facility such as the Keno Sports Complex, that'll be the first one to be shut down. And my concern is, why would a retail investor, given the track record of the Pima County Health Department during pandemic issues, would have any inkling to invest capital into something like this, knowing that at the drop of a hat, they'll shut it down? And when that's shut down, what will that do to the whole facility and the whole complex? I often cite an example. A friend of mine has a son who's a star lacrosse player back east, and they work together through various regional entities of college and younger lacrosse teams to hold a tournament, like a week-long tournament here at Keno Sports Complex, involving some 2,000 lacrosse players from across the country, their families, the coaches, all kinds of participants that would come to Tucson and to the sports complex to participate in this tournament. And it occurred right during the pandemic crisis, and the health department said, no, we're not allowing this program, this event, to take place. It shut down a huge opportunity, and right up the road, the Cardinals were practicing person to person in the Phoenix area. Yet they couldn't have a high school to college age tournament for lacrosse players held at the Keno Sports Complex because of the COVID. What's going to keep the health department from shutting down the next group or the next facility or the next project that could happen? And I'm very wary about this whole complex being put on the line with so many issues outside that still are unanswered.
A couple of follow-ups to that. Earlier on in this process, Deputy County Administrator Carmine DeBonis mentioned that this would be privately financed no reliance on taxpayer funds. Was that decision finalized? Is this going to be majority, if not entirely, privately financed? Or
my my understanding, and there's still a bit of confusion as to the financing end of this, where it's going to be, is that the financing will be through a private entity. I've yet to see the details on that, but nonetheless, what happens if the entity decides to finance this project, and we run into some of these issues I've just outlined? It does not from an optic standpoint, does not look good, not only for the county and the region, but for the Keno Sports Complex. And if it was such an attractive, viable project, where is the demand from the private sector, from the commercial real estate folks? Why aren't they first and front and center in line wanting to be part of this? I don't see that at all.
One last quick question on this Keno expansion, then we'll take a break and come back and talk other topics. But this is also, the plan for this will include hotels, retail shops, restaurants, multi-purpose entertainment venues. And one of the things that I think has been interesting watching other communities do things like this is that from the beginning, it's paired with existing development of those amenities, I think often more in downtown cores. And we didn't see that with the original Keno. I think that's one of the reasons why the original Keno hasn't caught full speed yet. Does it help to have hotels, retail shops, restaurants? Does that help for this Keno expansion to have those things now involved? Or is it still too far away from residential areas for it to obtain a critical mass event to event?
Well, I think that location is going to be a hindrance for the region to really participate in that complex. The other issue involved is this complex going to be competing with something that has been a kind of like the jewelstone of Pima County and City of Tucson downtown? Is it going to draw people downtown? No, I think it's going to compete with the downtown entities, and they're struggling as it is. It certainly isn't going to have the same type of venue attraction, so it really isn't something that can be coupled with downtown events. But by the same token, is it going to draw people away from downtown down to the Keno Sports Complex? These are questions that I don't think have been answered, and I hate to see the county involved in issues like this when it should be up to the private sector.
We're with Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We have Supervisor Rex Scott representing District 1 on next week, Supervisor Christie, and he's a huge fan of this. And so if you're listening next week, we'll hear probably the other side, a supervisor who's really excited about this, and we'll hear why, and we'll push and pull like we were in this conversation. So thank you for this update. Big news recently in the news out of a recent supervisor meeting. We're going to go to our first break of this conversation, our last break of this hour of Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice for today. When we come back, we'll continue talking about some critical issues. We'll talk water rates. We'll probably talk Fight for 15. Your fellow supervisor, Matt Hines, has said, hey, if the city of Tucson passes this, I'm going to push the county too. So it's a regional $15 minimum wage increase. Lots of issues, Supervisor Christie, to talk about when we come back after a short break. Don't go anywhere, Tucson. We'll be right back.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice. Grab your shades, Club Soul members. We're going to Soul Town. July 7th through July 31st, Club Soul members can cruise through Soul Town to collect game pieces for free play and other exciting prizes. Build your very own game board, and you could win $250,000. Let the soul shine down on you this July. And stick around Soul Town for the $250,000 grand finale drawing on July 31st. Only at Casino del Sol, the soul of Tucson. Enterprise of the Pascua Yaqui Tribe.
Why?
I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Hey folks, this is Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality and best-selling author. If you don't know what you're passionate about or you dread going to work on Mondays, you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be that way. I'm here to help you find the work that you were created to do right here on The Ramsey Show.
The Ramsey Show, weekdays from 1 to 4 on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Another fast-moving hour of Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, your daily drive time hour talking about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We just locked in this conversation, a new candidate for U.S. Senate from Tucson joined the race that is getting hotly contested earlier this week, Blake Masters. He'll be in studio live tomorrow. We'll have a talk with a Senate candidate for the state of Arizona in the U.S. Senate. That and much more this week coming up. Right now, we're with Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We talked about the Keno expansion pretty extensively in the first segment. There's a couple topics, Supervisor, I'd love to get to here for our monthly update. Water rates. The city of Tucson did indeed decide to raise water rates on unincorporated Pima County residents. And County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry and Supervisor Bronson have both spoken about the likelihood of legal action against the city of Tucson on that. Can you speak to where that is in the process and what that legal action might look like?
I can't give you specifics. I would imagine that there's a lot of legal investigations and alternative pathways being formulated deep in the bowels of Pima County, I'm sure of that. But the issue of it ending up in the courts, I think, was always at the forefront. If you look at all of the various entities that are involved here, as well as the past agreements in writing and signed by both jurisdictions regarding City of Tucson delivering water to the region in return for Pima County servicing the sewer lines and the system in the county, it's pretty clear, cut and dry, where the responsibilities and the jurisdictions were drawn. And when those are so drastically breached and severed, as the City of Tucson is doing, it's going to end up in the courts. And I'm certain that once it does, and it will, that Pima County will prevail.
We had Supervisor Matt Hines on the show last week. He had an interesting remark. I want to follow up with this, give me your thoughts, and then we'll move on. He mentioned that now, between now and when this comes into play later on in the year, that the City of Tucson is going to have to do a cost of service analysis and prove that there is a cost difference between delivering water within the City of Tucson and delivering it to unincorporated Pima County. And that might have an impact on the legal process. I hadn't heard that before. We've known for a while that the City of Tucson hasn't done a cost of service analysis. They haven't throughout this whole process of considering a rate change. If the data comes back and there is not a cost of service basis for raising the rates, does that change the game on this?
Well, I think it already has, for the mere fact that there was never a cost of service basis performed to begin with. I mean, that's a pretty unilateral and arbitrary decision they made without any kind of studies to back up what the City of Tucson is trying to impose on unincorporated residents. Does it change anything? No. The issue has been made very clear by certain members of the Tucson City Council that it's a policy decision, and they really don't care about the cost of service. It's a matter that they, as they say, they deliver the water. It's their system. They have the right to determine what rates are going to be imposed on customers within the city limits without any kind of cost of service, and the same applies for those who live outside of the city limits. So this really, to the city council, the cost of service analysis is, it's kind of like a fly on your nose. You just want to flick it off and not have to deal with it, because what they're really looking for is not justification for what they're doing, but imposing what they want to do as far as a policy.
We're with Supervisor Steve Christie this morning. We have time for one last topic, so let's do it. I wanted to ask you about the fight for 15. This is a City of Tucson issue. However, fellow Supervisor Matt Hines, who sits with you on the dais there, has put out an op-ed saying that he supports this. One of the concerns from the business community that I've heard is, well, hey, if the City of Tucson raises the minimum wage to 15 and the county has a different minimum wage related to the state of Arizona, there's going to be a discrepancy. It's going to be difficult. Supervisor Hines came out and said, hey, if this passes, I will, as a supervisor, push for the county to also implement a $15 minimum wage in the county so that it all stays synchronized. Supervisor Hines and Supervisor Grijalva represent the two county districts that are most in the City of Tucson, and so you often see the votes kind of falling that way too. My assumption is you're not in support either of the fight for 15 or for the county following suit. 4 minutes, your thoughts.
That's a accurate assumption, and I think I've made it clear, particularly given my background as a business owner and in the private sector. We can go into all kinds of detail at another time, that if we had more time to do so, showing the studies and the repercussions and the deleterious effects that raising the minimum wage has on communities, it has on businesses, it has on middle class participants in jobs. But And those studies are always subject to controversy, but I think the real core issue that it really boils down to, Zach, is a fundamental and philosophical belief that is hard to convey to those who have never been in the business community, those who have never had to, as they say, sign the front of a paycheck. And that is one of the key driving forces of a successful business. And a sign of a successful business is the relentless pursuit of cutting costs. Controlling costs is very important, but what it boils down to is looking for ways to cut costs. And especially after coming out of the COVID mandates and restrictions that just absolutely eviscerated so many businesses in Pima County, all of a sudden to have another cost put on top of a business of raising the minimum wage, It is striking at the core of the difference between the private sector, private capital, private enterprise, and the public sector, who really has no idea of what it takes to run a business. And again, it goes back to the core belief that what is the role of government as it pertains to private business? Is it right for government to come in and dictate to a private business who has put up their own private capital, have their own risks, are make or break on their own doing, to allow the government to come and say, you will pay your papers, your employees a minimum of X amount of money. That's a real imposition that, again, it really strikes at the root cause of this controversy and this ongoing debate about what minimum wage does to businesses and what it does to society. I fall back on the fact that I don't believe government should come into a business and impose mandates on what that business should pay its employees. If you look at this Fight for 15, they have their main resolution calls for the creation of an office in the city of Tucson to deal with complaints about businesses not paying the new minimum wage. And to me, that's another very onerous element of how the government is going to come into a business, demand to see its pay records, its employee records, its time cards, all of the things that are really between the business and its employees. The government's going to step in and mandate an investigation. There's also going to be, according to what they're saying, the ability for complaints to be aired and encouraged. So this, again, really shows an overreach by the government into businesses. It strikes at the core of the controversy between what the role of government is and how it should or should not be involved in businesses. And I think the overall detriments to this whole issue outweigh the benefits, and it's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight, and I really think that the business community is going to stand up and say enough is enough.
Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, thank you as always for making time for us monthly. We appreciate your updates. Always good seeing you in person, and we'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it. Always be here in person, too.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Tucson, that does it for us here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that. When we return, our first conversation tomorrow on the show will be with Blake Masters, new Senate candidate for Arizona in the U.S. Senate from Tucson. Devin Underwood after that, workforce pivots. We'll see you, Tucson. Take care. Stay cool out there.